Let me just give you an update. Andrew and Marissa, his wife, they did move to Wisconsin, and he's an assistant pastor in Sparta, which is on the western side of Wisconsin, over closer to Minnesota. It's near maybe a town you've heard of as La Crosse. That's about the biggest thing that's close to him. It's a town of about 10,000 people, and they're doing well. In fact, this morning his pastor is speaking at a camp, and so Andrew is teaching Sunday school and preaching the morning service and playing for all the music, and then he'll preach this afternoon. And so he's got a great day going on. And Micah and Abby are expecting, and their baby is due in September. So they are very excited. And Micah also is getting many opportunities. He teaches Sunday school every week and then preaches the afternoon service. They don't have an evening service. They only have an afternoon service. So they have a morning service, then they eat together every week, and then they have an afternoon service, and then they're done every week. So Micah preaches the afternoon service. He also has started a new addiction program for them down there, and so he gets to teach that as well. So the family all sends their greetings, and we look forward to a time when maybe our family can all be back together and we can come by here again. We would enjoy that. Well, today we celebrate our nation, we celebrate our blessings, and we celebrate liberty. Now, we've been singing about liberty. Brother Tim has been leading us in several songs. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. You know, liberty is an interesting word. In the Old Testament, it means to live wide or large or to have room to move around. Now, you can say, well, because we've got space, we can move around, but that's not the idea. Listen to this verse out of Psalm 119. There we read, I will walk at liberty. I will walk and have room and not be restricted, for I seek thy precepts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the context of this is, he's been talking about the Old Testament where Moses went to see the Lord and his face was shining. And when he came back, he put a veil over his face. Now often we think it was because the people were frightened by the glow, but the reality of that was, he put a veil over his face because he knew that the glow was going to disappear and it wouldn't look like he now has that aura of God. So he veiled his face, which put a distance between the people and God. But it goes on to say, now the Lord is the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. You know, our nation doesn't give us liberty. It is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit revealing God's Word. What we just sang, open my eyes that I can see what God has for me today. It's a byproduct of choosing right. You know, we can live secure, solid lives of liberty in spite of our nation. I know Pastor this morning just shared the burden that we have for our nation. But you know, the greatest thing we can do for our nation this morning is, now we've just voted. In fact, we've voted twice, seems like, just recently. But so often we get caught up in the externals. The greatest thing we can do for our nation is to be the kind of people we should be. And when we are the right kind of people, we will live at liberty. And in fact, there will be the blessing of the Lord to where others around us get to live in liberty. So the title of the message this morning is Rock Solid Liberty. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to that text, Rock Solid Liberty. Now, our study is in Matthew 5, but I'm going to begin in Matthew chapter 7. So if you'd turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll begin there at verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. I want to talk about rock-solid liberty today. Jesus says that a wise man builds his house on a secure foundation. So today I want to encourage you, because so often we look at the pressures around us, we look at the world around us, and we get discouraged. And we feel like we just kind of have to hunker down and just wait out the storm. But the reality is, Jesus says, I'm going to tell you something so that you can build your life on something that is solid and secure, and even when the rains come, you don't have to fear. You can be at liberty. And so today I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you that your lives today can be lived at liberty. Now let's go to our text, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Before we pause for a word of prayer, I want to just mention a story to you. I want to tell you a story that I hope will help you remember some of the truths we're going to study this morning. You know, there is a difference between hearing and hanging on to what you hear. There's a difference between hearing and hanging on to what you hear. You can hear what someone says, or you can listen. By listening, I mean that you have determined, I'm going to pay attention and I'm going to listen on purpose. Maybe, have you ever had someone say, yeah, I hear you. What does that mean? It means they have heard what you've said, but they don't necessarily agree with what you said. And in fact, they probably are not going to do what you've said, but they have heard. You know what I've found? It's very easy to come to church and to hear, but not necessarily listen. When my son Micah was in college, he sent me this story from one of his textbooks, and I was fascinated by it. The story is told of President Franklin Roosevelt, who often had to endure long receiving lines at the White House. And he was grumbling about it. He said, people never listen to what I have to say anyway. They're just so excited to come to the White House. They're so excited to shake the president's hand. You could say anything you want and people never hear you. And so he tried this little experiment one day. President Roosevelt decided that every time someone would come in line and he would shake their hand, you know, they would say, how are you today? And this was what he said. I murdered my grandmother this morning. The guests responded with phrases like, marvelous, Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir. And it wasn't until the end of the receiving line that he reported there was an ambassador from Bolivia. And the ambassador heard him say, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." And the ambassador said, "I'm sure she had it coming." Of all those people, who really listened to the president? Oh, it was the ambassador from Bolivia. You know, it's easy to be present and to hear, but really not pay attention. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these words of mine will be like unto a man who builds his house upon a rock." You know, it's been probably 40 years ago, maybe even more, that the well-known Bible expositor D. Martin Lloyd Jones, have any of you heard of him? All right. He introduced a series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount with the following statement. He said, "I don't think it's a harsh judgment to say that the most obvious feature of the Christian church today is superficiality. I think that anyone who looks at the present state of the Christian church in the light of the previous workings of the Holy Spirit will be driven to the reluctant conclusion that the outstanding characteristic of the life of the church today is being shallow." Sadly, in many churches, that's true. I'm going to let you, and I've had to deal with this in my own life, I'm going to let each of us this morning think about, what is my Christian life really like? Have I become content to be shallow, or am I genuinely building my life on the rock of God's Word? I believe this morning every one of us is probably doing the best we can. Every one of us wants to succeed. I believe every one of us wants to do well in work, in life, in our relationships. But I find it interesting, even though we all want to do well, it doesn't mean that things are going well. I read a quote recently, and it didn't say where the quote was from, but it said, in today's society, marriage is for better or for worse, but not for long. It's because we aren't building our lives on the rock, whether it's in the church or whether it's out of the church. Rock solid liberty. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray this morning that your word would refresh our hearts. Father, as we were studying in Sunday school this morning, we recognize that Satan is a liar and a deceiver, and Satan this morning wants us to think that you're a hard God, that your word is difficult, wants us to believe that there's a better way. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would encourage us, that he would exhort, if need be, reprove and rebuke. But I pray, Father, that this morning we would go out energized to enjoy the liberty that we have by standing on the rock of your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. In Matthew chapter 4, we read about the temptation of Jesus. If you want to just flip back one page, you can kind of follow with me. We read about the temptation of Jesus. Then we read in verse 12 that Jesus departed into Galilee. And then he moved from Nazareth to Capernaum, and that's about a 20-mile trip, and was on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was preaching about the importance of repentance, verse 17. Jesus talked about the importance of having a change of mind and direction. That's what repentance is. It's when we change our mind, and what we believe affects the way we behave. Does that sound familiar of what you're studying in James right now? Now, as you think about that, Jesus called his disciples at this point. He's telling them, here's what living as a Christian, here's what kingdom living is going to look like. Remember, Matthew is about King Jesus. And Matthew is going to tell us, here's what Jesus said about what it's like to live in Jesus' kingdom. And we're going to look and we're going to see, so does this sound like a hard kingdom? Does this sound like a bad place to live? Or does this sound like the kind of place everyone should want to live in if they would only listen to what Jesus was saying and not just hear? Notice what he says here. He says, he brought the disciples together, and when he was seated, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's easy to think that Christianity, religion, is a list of do's and don'ts. I don't know what you've grown up with, but that's pretty common. Do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And if your do's do better than your don'ts and you're handling that, then maybe Jesus is pleased with you. But what I want you to see is Jesus is telling us some very important things today. We're just going to look at two of these this morning. He says, blessed, true righteousness. You notice he didn't begin with a list of, if you'll only dress this way, if you'll only do these things. He began with our attitudes. And Jesus said, blessed. You know, usually when people sit you down and they talk with you, you're waiting for the shoe to drop. Imagine what that felt like to them when he said, blessed. The word blessed in Latin is beatus, which is, you've heard this called the Beatitudes. That's where it comes from. It's from a Latin term. You won't find it in the scriptures, but it just kind of helps fill in the blanks if you're wondering, where does that come from? Jesus is teaching us what true happiness really is. How can we be truly happy? Now, they had the Psalms, all right? Remember, these are people who knew the Old Testament. Remember Psalm 1 where we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So maybe some of them were thinking about Psalm 1 when Jesus said, blessed, and they said, oh, I know what he's going to say. Maybe some of them were thinking about the Queen of Sheba, where we read in 1 Kings 10, where she said, Solomon's servants were truly blessed. I don't know. I do know this. If a man wants to be completely happy, Jesus said, you're going to have to build your life upon the solid rock of my words. And when you build your life upon the solid rock of God's words, he says, you can be blessed. Now, I say that because, you know, maybe sometime you're not going to be able to be in church. In fact, even when you can be here every service, you're really only able to be here on Sunday and on Wednesdays. Now, sometimes you'll have heart-to-heart or maybe a men's fellowship. But really, the rest of the week, you're on your own. But you're not on your own because you have this book. And Jesus said, you can be blessed if you hear these words that he says and you do them. Conduct flows out of your character. So notice what he says here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Liberty is based on understanding yourself this morning. First thing I want you to know. Liberty is based on understanding yourself. Understanding your position. He says, blessed, happy are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means to be humble, to have the right, correct thoughts about yourself. It doesn't mean to be poor-spirited, to always feel like you're awful and you have this Eeyore cloud over you all the time, no matter where you go. It's the opposite of our culture's self-praise, where we just go around saying, you're good and you're good and you're good. No, he says the poor in spirit literally is those who are honest with themselves about themselves. Knowing who we are. Well, let me tell you a little about who I am. I'm a sinner. I am not able to fix things in life. I can do my best, but the reality is there are lots of things I can't fix. I can't change it. I can't make it better. As hard as I try, this is where it is. So what does that tell you about me this morning? It tells you if you're really in a jam, I shouldn't probably be your first pick, right? I'm not number one. I'm not the ultimate. I know that, and if you know me relatively well, you know that about me too. In fact, if you just know people, you know they can't fix this on their own. He can't help me fix this. The poor in spirit are those who know what they are and they accept what they are and they live for the glory of God. Understanding my position, but now notice understanding your condition. You are bankrupt before God, but rich through Christ. You see, knowing your condition begins by realizing that whatever you are through Jesus Christ. Whatever I am this morning, all the blessings that I enjoy are mine because I recognize it's not me. You see, the very starting point for all of us is recognizing we need Jesus. We're not able of our own self to fix this. I cannot fix my family. I cannot fix me as a person. I cannot fix my nation. I cannot fix anything apart from what God does. But God is able. He begins. You say, well, yeah, but that just sounds like you're a defeatist. No, that's not it at all. It's recognizing King Jesus. You see, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize that they lack. Because those who recognize that they lack, those are the ones who inherit the kingdom. Those who are the ones who have the resources of the kingdom. Now, this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you first of all begin by saying, I know I've done wrong things. I can't fix that. And I don't have any way to pay that debt. Let me put it like this. If you, every day, if you knew you needed $50 and you knew you had $20 in the bank, if you went to the bank every day and looked at your bank account, or if you went online now, if you're an online banker, and you were to look every day and you see that you have $20 in your account, how long would it take you to get $50 if every day you looked at your account and it said you had $20?
Forever.
Forever. That's exactly right. It would never change because you've got $20. You need $50. No matter how often you look at your $20, you still don't have $50. You see, so often we try to live our lives by saying, well, you know what, I'm pretty good, and I'm a $20 person, but God says you need the $50. No matter how often I look at myself, I'm still a 20 bucker. But you need to be a 50 bucker. You can't get there, no matter how often you look at it. See, when you finally realize you're a 20 bucker. That's all you're going to be. You can't be a 50 bucker. You're a 20 bucker because that's what you are. What's the only way you can become a 50 bucker? Someone has to what? Someone's got to put that in your account because you don't have it. See, the very first starting point of recognizing all the resources that God has for us is recognizing you're a 20 bucker. Jesus said, blessed, happy is the one who finally realizes what he is. Because when he realizes what he is, that is what opens up. You see, until I know that I'm only a 20 bucker, I'm not asking for 30 bucks. But when I realize I need 50 and I've only got 20, that's the starting point where now I begin thinking, okay, so where can I go for 30 bucks? No. Maybe. You see, you start sizing it up, don't you? Who do I know that's got what I need? Now, that works pretty good. This morning, I think there'd be a few of you that maybe would help me out with 30 bucks to get me to be a 50 bucker. But what if I'm a 20 bucker and I need 500 million? No. David, no. David's shaking his head right away. No. Why? Because now I'm looking for something that is beyond any of my friends. What do I really need? I need the unlimited resources of Jesus. See, blessed, happy are those who recognize their 20 buckers. Because for theirs, that opens the resources. Why? Because it's giving us the idea, because now I'm looking to someone beyond myself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they recognize their resources are external. You see, a right view of ourselves changes the way we try to have victory in our daily living. Am I able to give myself victory today over maybe wrong speech? Am I able today to give myself victory over having a critical spirit? Am I able today to give myself victory over addictive habits? Am I able today to give myself victory over wrong thinking? Am I able today to give myself victory over hatred? And the answer is, I can't. I can tell myself, don't do that, and I still do it. I don't know if you've had that same disappointing realization, but I can tell you that I have. And I would like to feel good about myself, and then I realize I keep failing. You see, blessed are the poor in spirit. It doesn't mean that you're thinking poorly about yourself. It's recognizing you don't have the resources. But the good news is, once you get to that point, you go, you're discouraging me today. Once you get to that point, you can now say, but since I don't have it, I need to go to someone who does have it, and that person is Jesus Christ. That's why a person who knows they don't have it, and know they don't have it, is blessed. Because there is someone who will provide everything you need. When we think we're able to handle life's storms by ourselves, we're overlooking the greatest liberty we could ever have. The liberty that comes by totally depending on Jesus Christ. So, we don't have the resources to live like a Christian. We're not strong enough in ourselves. We're not able to defeat Satan, no matter how many times we try. But when we rely on the resources of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can. I don't know what you're struggling with today, but the first step is recognizing I'm a 20 bucker. I'll never get there. I can't do this on my own. But my Lord Jesus Christ is unlimited. And through him, I have all things available to me. Not only is liberty based on understanding yourself, but notice the next verse with me. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Liberty is based on understanding sin. You see, having been teaching his disciples that blessedness comes when you recognize you don't have the resources, he now addresses the way we think, and he says, blessed are those who mourn over sin. Blessed are those who see the situation. You see yourself, but now those who see the situation, that is the beginning of the path where you can be comforted. Again, Pastor mentioned this morning the situation of our nation. What does it really take? It takes a new view of sin. You see, we've gotten so comfortable, let me put it this way, I've gotten so comfortable with my nation and with my society that I've become comfortable with sin. Sometimes we struggle, and I believe that was on the paper this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes we struggle with, we see someone who's doing the wrong thing, and what's our response to that person? We reject the person because the sin that they do. And God says, that's as bad as using my name in vain. But on the other side of it, then we get to where we're so comfortable with sin around us that we no longer mourn over sin. Many of you know I drive a shuttle. I had a first the other day. I was talking to a young man. He's probably 20. And he said he was twins with a half-sister. You let that one settle in your brain. I asked him 3 times. It was just he and me. And I said, I don't get it. Say that again. Until I realized he was 1 minute older than his sister. They were born like normal twins, but they had different fathers. It's possible. It's biologically possible. But you know what his family situation was like. You know, this boy has a lot of characteristics that are sinful in the way he acts. But that day, my heart was broken. I love that boy. He does not understand life. You know why? Because sin has so devastated everything he's been around. He does not understand a family. He does not understand what a dad is like. He's never had a dad in his life. He said, no, I really don't know my dad. Jesus said the first step to being comforted is mourning. You see, when we mourn, we should be mourning over our own sin first. Sin will always take you farther than you intend to go, make you stay longer than you intended to stay, and cost you more than you wanted to pay. It always looks good because Satan's a liar. And Satan tells you it's okay. But it's not until I get serious about my own sin that comfort really comes. You know, when I begin to get serious about my sin of, and you can fill in the blank, lying, stealing, cheating, idolatry, which in our nation today is usually pornography. When we begin to put something ahead of God, and Satan says, that will make you happy. You say these things, you do these things, you ingest these things, whatever it is. We get used to that and we begin to say, that's okay. When we say that, there is no place for comfort. My marriage is going to stay a wreck. My whatever is going to stay broken. But when you begin to mourn, that's when there could be comfort. Pastor had us kneel today. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. You know what that is? That's beginning to mourn over sin. Personally, our own sin. Because you know what? There's a way that seems right. But the end of that is always death. The fact is, the wages of sin always is death, separation. Many of you, maybe some of you can remember an American sprinter named Marion Jones. She had won 3 gold medals. Newspaper reported, though, that Marion Jones had broken the rules, and the title read, "Saddened Jones Pleads Guilty in Doping Case." The article read, "Three-time gold medal Olympic champion Marion Jones slumped forward between her 2 attorneys in federal court. She could no longer run with the constant denials of using performance-enhancing drugs." She said, "By November of 2003, I realized that I had been receiving performance-enhancing drugs," and she pleaded guilty to 2 felony counts of lying to federal investigators. Minutes later, she faced the media and she said, "I stand before you to tell you that I have betrayed your trust." With tears streaming down her face and her voice beginning to quiver, she said, "Making false statements to federal agents was an incredibly stupid thing for me to do. I'm responsible fully for my actions. I have no one to blame but myself for what I have done. To you, my fans, including my young supporters, I would like you to know that I have been dishonest. And you have the right to be angry with me." What I want you to know, first of all, is sin is never the best policy. Honesty is always the best policy. But for Marion Jones, do you know that was the turning point for her? Because when you recognize and you begin to mourn over your own sin, there is comfort that could be had. Today, I don't know what is happening in your life, but I do know this. It's possible for Christians to get hung up in a sin issue. And when we get hung up, until we're willing to mourn over our own sin, there is no comfort. And you can come to church week after week and be discouraged and downhearted. But the day you begin to mourn over your sin, that's the day you can be comforted. Once we've mourned over our sin, we can mourn over other people's sin. I appreciated the fact that Pastor had us pray. We ought to be concerned about what is happening in our nation because we're a sinning nation. It should grieve us when we see others caught in a sin trap. We still love the person, but we know what sin does. What's our resource? You can be comforted. Where does that comfort come from? The same one who gives us the resources that we need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." You see the good news today? The wise person builds their house upon the rock. That means God's word says it, that's what I will do. The world tells you how to handle your marriage. The world tells you how to handle your children. The world tells you how to handle your finances. The world tells you how to handle your recreation. And every one of those will leave you bankrupt, without resources, and without comfort. God says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those that keep his testimonies, that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Today, there is hope for you. Liberty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In these first few verses, Jesus is teaching a very important truth. You're not able to help yourself. And sin is very destructive. But if you confess and forsake, there can be mercy. And Jesus has the resources for you today so that you don't have to give in to those addictive behaviors. There's hope. There's hope. Is there something in your life that needs to change this morning? Is there an area of your life that you have become comfortable with sin that you need to begin mourning over? If you'll do that, there's comfort. You see, I didn't come to beat you up this morning. Pastor wouldn't want me to do that. He didn't want me to hurt you. He wants me to be a blessing to you. But we have to be honest. Are you hearing or are you listening? Are you willing to do what God's word says? Or are you going to walk out and do whatever you want? There is a place this morning where you can have comfort, sweet. It's near to the heart of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning, we're just asking you would take your word, and we want liberty. Lord, we this morning just need to be reminded that it's not about our own resources because we don't have enough. But along with recognizing that we don't have enough comes the blessing of having all the resources of heaven available. Lord, for some this morning who maybe do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would be willing to just humble themselves, recognize they're not good enough to get to heaven on their own, but recognize that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for them to pay their debt. And may today be a day of liberty where they would receive Jesus Christ. Then, Father, for others who maybe are struggling with some sin, I pray that today would be a day where they would recognize the awfulness of sin and they would mourn. And that they today, as they confess their sin, would be comforted. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray that we would have eyes to see the way you see. May we be broken over sin and love the sinners around us. Before I finish this prayer, with your head still bowed, is there anyone this morning that say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? God has spoken to me. And maybe it's an area where you've become independent and you're realizing I need to be dependent on Jesus. I need to draw on his resources and recognize I can't do this on my own. Maybe there's an area of sin in your life. I don't know. But you would say, God has spoken to me. Would you pray for me as we close? Is there anyone today, just lift your hand up and say, pray for me. Yes. Any others? Just pray for me. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray for this one that raised their hand. Lord, I pray that today they might be experiencing the wealth and the resources of the kingdom. And I pray that today they would experience comfort. Thank you, Lord. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, because you have something special that's about to take place, I'm not going to have an invitation this morning because